We're turning again to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're continuing on with our look at lesser known Bible characters and King Asa. And I've subtitled it, A King Whose Feet Told the Story of His Heart. Let's seek the Lord's help in prayer. Our gracious Father, we pray that Thou would be our help and our strength, our aid at this time, that Thou would be our teacher and our guide, and that we might, as diligent students of Thy Word, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be instructed in the things of the Gospel, and that we might apply such knowledge even to our hearts this day, that we might not simply be adding knowledge and intellectual assent to the truth of God, but that we might know its outworking in our lives. Do give help in the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 12, we read this concerning King Asa, that in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, we are not told what this disease might be. Adam Clark, however, in his commentary, said that he had a strong and long fit of the gout, and this being most likely. So it's very possible that the disease may have been gout. But when you look closely at the words that are used to describe it, the diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. But whatever the disease in his feet may have been, it eventually affected his whole body. The word exceeding meaning upward. And so the disease has spread from his feet upwards to the upper parts of his body. Whatever Asa's problem may have been, the disease of his feet spoke volumes about his heart. And let us not be surprised by that, because the condition of our heart is always manifest in some form or another. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. In short, what our Savior was saying, that what was in a man eventually came out of him, and really was only revealing what was there all along. And as we will see, Asa's physical problem is but a symptom of his spiritual problem. What is, I suppose, distracting about the whole story of Asa is that he began so well. The early days of his reign are marked with an inspiring consecration unto the Lord. In fact, if you turn back a page in your Bible to chapter 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, we're told that so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. What a wonderful testimony of this young man at this particular stage in his life, having assumed the throne of his father, that his life is marked with piety and dedication to the things of God. He is a man who honored God and feared God and sought to please God in whatever he did. And much of it, the Lord tells us, was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He honored God in his life. That's seen in the following verses, where we're told that he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. What a noble king he was. He effected righteous rule throughout the whole kingdom. He tore down the false images. He destroyed those false places of worship. He instructed the people in righteousness, commanding them to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to keep his laws. Oh, for rulers such as that today. It seems today that every time we turn around that some new law is passed that restricts and suppresses Christians from being vocal and visible about their faith. But here's a king who's promoting the worship of God. Can you imagine today if the politicians of the land, if your prime minister stood up and said that the people of Australia are to turn from their sins and to seek the God of their fathers, to obey his law and his commandments? I tell you, I'd be watching the news that night if such a declaration was made. And yet that's exactly what King Asa did. He purged the land of every false god and every false place of worship and commanded the people to seek the Lord God of heaven. What a great testimony Asa has in those early days of his reign, doing that which is right and good in the eyes of the Lord. I tell you, that's a testimony we all would like to say of us, that we did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. That ought to be the desire of our heart. A desire to live for God and to be like our Savior. Someone once said that the Christian ought to live as if Christ died yesterday, arose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow. That our eyes are fixed upon him continually. And we do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. So we find here's a king who served God. And more than that, we're told that he sought God. In 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 9, we're told that there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Marashah. What an army had gathered against him. 1,000,000 men. And we're told that Asa's army is just a half of that number. But was he afraid? Did he flee from before his enemy? No, we're told in verse 11 that he cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. What did this king do? He understood that with the Lord it didn't matter whether there were many against him and few with him. It didn't matter if he didn't have the ability or the strength in himself to fight the enemy. He knew that he was able to take the matter to God in prayer and that God would take care of him. He prayed perhaps the best prayer we can pray in times of trouble. Lord, help! In his hour of need, he turned to the Lord. He trusted in him for his deliverance. And when we are faced with situations that are too great for us, and the enemy too vast and too strong, and ourselves too weak, and we're lacking in the ability to either handle or face the foe before us, we turn to the Lord and we trust in him. It's nothing to the Lord. He is more than able. He is able to deliver us. We can rest in him. And therefore we are told in the next verse that the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asher and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Notice it was the Lord that smote. It was the Lord that delivered Asa. It was the Lord who fought the battle that day. And it matters not to us what our situation might be. The Lord our God is able to take care of it. We cry unto him in our hour of need. He is able to help and deliver. I wonder sometimes the reason that we are not delivered is because we don't cry out to the Lord for help. We try and do things in our own strength. Well, the early years of Asa's reign are marked with consecration and dedication unto the Lord. As his reign continues, we find a wonderful thing happening in chapter 15. In verse 10, we're told that they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 of oxen, 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Those early days of consecration are followed by further years of covenant. Asa made a covenant with God. He entered into a solemn obligation before God that as a nation, that the people would seek the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul. And he went as far as to include everyone, small or great, male or female, that whoever would not seek the Lord would be put to death. A very solemn covenant indeed. Was he serious in the matter? Yes, he was. We're told in verse 16 just how serious he was, that concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. He stripped his mother of her crown, of her position as queen, because she had raised an idol and had sought to worship. And we get the idea then very clearly that here is a man who is not only consecrated unto the Lord, but he's serious about the whole nation worshipping God. And we should be serious about serving God. Now you may ask why Asa made such a covenant with God. Well, it came because of a message that was brought to him by a prophet by the name of Azariah. And in the opening verses of chapter 15, we're told that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Here's a message that came to Asa through the prophet from the Lord. If you seek the Lord, he will be with you. If you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you. And Asa is reminded of all that the Lord has done for them up until this point. And in verse 3 he's reminded that now for a long season Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. There has been a time in Judah's past where God has been forsaken and everything to do with God has been abandoned, and the people have not set their heart upon worshipping God. And in those times, verse 5 tells us, there was no peace to him that went out nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Nation was destroyed of nation, and city for city, for God did vex them with all adversity. During the time that the nation has been away from God, there has been no peace, and there has been no prosperity, and there has been no blessing from God upon the people. Because when God is left out of our lives, how can we expect him to bless? What a vivid picture has been given to us. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. A life without God is a life without peace. There are troubles and turmoils. There are adversities and problems because God has been abandoned. So Azariah comes to Asa with this message. Here is your history. Learn from it. You have forsaken God. He has forsaken you. But if ye seek him, he will be found of you. He will be found of you. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In essence, Azariah is saying to Asa, continue that good work that you started. Put God first in your life. Serve him with heart and soul and mind and strength. Seek the Lord and God will reward and bless you. Over and over again throughout the scriptures, we find this promise being repeated. Them that honor me, I will honor, the Lord tells us. And Asa determines to serve the Lord and to bring the nation with him in serving God, and entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. There is no one who has ever served God or sought God that was not blessed by God. So the early days of consecration were followed by further years of covenant, of seeking God, of honoring God. And we must say up until this point, the life of Asa is inspiring. It's inspiring. But we find, however, in the final years of his reign, the days of consecration and covenant have been forgotten. Though what a contrast we see in the final days of his life. How thrilling it is to read of a man that served God and sought to encourage others to follow God, but makes it even more tragic that we find that though he started so well, that he didn't finish well. That the final years of his reign are marked with disobedience. Beginning in chapter 16, what was the 36th year of his reign, we find Asa once again confronted with an enemy. We're told of how Baasha, king of Israel, came against Judah. And because of what was happening in Judah under the reign of Asa, this revival of the worship of God, many were leaving Israel and coming to Judah, and this displeased Baasha. So he went up against Judah and he set up a border patrol to prevent them to block any further emigration between the two countries. Facing an enemy that set upon his destruction was nothing new for Asa. He has already been there with Zerah, king of Ethiopia. We've seen how he called upon the Lord and God delivered him. However, this time, Asa handles the situation very differently. Rather than calling upon the Lord to deliver them, Asa calls for the assistance of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And he purchased his friendship and his assistance with silver and gold, and he asked Ben-Hadad to take care of King Baasha for him. And we read of how Ben-Hadad's armies came and confronted the fortresses of Israel, and how Baasha was forced to withdraw his troops. And it seemed from the outward appearance that Asa had once again defeated a foe that was set upon his destruction. However, his response to this new threat was very different from how he reacted previously. There's something lacking in his response this time. Asa has defeated his enemy, but this time, instead of gathering the blessing of God, he has drawn a rebuke from God. In verse 7, we're told of Hanani the seer, or the prophet, that he came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Where previously he had called upon God to deliver him and trusted in the Lord, now he has relied upon human assistance instead of heavenly assistance. He's called upon King Ben-Hadad of Syria, a pagan, one who didn't know nor worship God, and the prophet's rebuke is stern. He reminded Asa how he had previously trusted in God, how God had delivered him. Verse 8 tells us, were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. The prophet puts his finger on why Asa did not turn to the Lord this time. Verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." There is your problem, Asa. Your heart hasn't been perfect toward God. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt divorce. The prophet declared that God was looking for someone who would trust him, who would obey him, that would allow the Lord to demonstrate his power through them in these battles that had to be fought. But Asa had not turned to the Lord and had not put his trust in God. And this lack of trust, the prophet declares, is because something has happened in your heart. Your heart is not perfect toward God, where previously you were consecrated to him and you covenanted unto him, but now there is a lack of trust revealed in your heart. The Lord was looking for those whose heart is perfect. The word means complete. Asa, your heart has not been completely set upon God. And the condition of his heart is further revealed in how he reacted to the prophet's words. No doubt previously there would have been repentance. There would have been bitter tears as he realized that his heart was not right and he sought to get right with God. But now, instead of repentance, There's rage. Asa was wroth with the fear and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. What a contrast in these final years. This man who had served and sought God, now he's rejecting God. And the sad epitaph is that he throws the prophet of God into prison, and those who raised their voice in opposition to what had happened, we're told that he oppressed them. One who had previously been a champion for the faith was now a persecutor. The sad epitaph of Asa's life is found in those closing verses. And behold the acts of Asa, first and last. Lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until the disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. Eventually, Asa's feet became diseased. And his feet told the story of what was happening in his heart. And what is even sadder is that with his diseased feet, he did not turn to the Lord. How sad to read those words. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. This disease in his feet spoke multitudes about the departure in his heart from the things of God. In his final years he did not look to the Lord, nor did he lean upon the Lord. He relied upon his possessions, his silver and gold, to buy him an army to defeat his enemies. He relied upon his physicians to provide healing for his body, rather than turning to the physician of the soul. He didn't turn to God nor trust in God. What a serious contrast, a sad contrast, to know what had went previously. How he had served the Lord God so seriously, only to turn away from him and to view those spiritual matters so lightly. To have went from being one who served God and did that which was right in his eyes, to turning away from God, and the Lord revealing to him that his heart was far from perfect before him. And we are reminded of those perhaps that we have known that in their past that they served God. They were to be found in the house of God, praising God, serving God, working for the Lord. They were serious about pleasing God and doing that which was right in his sight. They never missed a service in the house of God. They never missed a day in the Word of God. And they had experienced the power of God. And they knew the peace of God. They were involved in the work of God. But today, their heart is far from God. And where God used to be preeminent in their life, other things have now become a priority. Where previously God was sought with heart and soul and might, and they trusted in him for their need, today they rely upon others or themselves. And their heart is far from God. And disease has set in, a corruption. Maybe it's not their feet that tells the story of their heart. Maybe it's their church attendance that tells the story of their heart. Maybe it's their lack of involvement that tells the story of their heart. Maybe it's the fact that they haven't prayed that tells the story of what is really going on in their heart. For what's happening in their heart is that it no longer is seeking or serving God the way that it previously did. And rest assured, if our heart is not perfect before God, if we are not completely set upon Him, it will be seen in our lives. It will become evident. It may not be diseased feet, but it will show a careless attitude, a coldness towards the things of God, an indifference towards those who are lost and perishing. I remember well my first day in Bible college. The principal said to the new students down, he said to us very seriously, "It's not how you start that matters. It's how you finish." We want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul that I have finished the course, that I have kept the faith. Hath started well, but he didn't finish well. We want to finish strong. I'm told that those who run the 100 meters race, they don't run to the line, they keep their eyes fixed beyond the line so that they approach the line at top speed. You see, those who only seek to run to the line begin to slow down. We want to burst through the tape. We want to go through it with our hearts set upon God. We don't want to be a 21st century Asa with the testimony that we started well, but we finished poorly. Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. When he died as a man who in former years had served God and sought God, but in the final years he was a man who was separated from God. There are those in the Scriptures who by their life and their testimony serve us as examples of what we ought to be. And there are those who are presented to us as warnings of what we ought not to be. We don't want to finish our course like Asa. We want to finish strongly for the Lord. We want our whole lives to be following God. We want to continue and persevere to the very end for our Master. And may our latter years be more greatly blessed even than our former years. And may the Lord have all the praise and glory and honor in a heart that's set upon Him and seeking to serve Him. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving and gracious Father, forgive us for our many faults and our failures, for the many times that we have trusted in the arm of flesh and not turned to the Lord for saving power. Lord, may our hearts be set upon Thee. May we seek Thee and serve Thee continually. And may the things of God have the utmost priority and preeminence in our lives, that we may not be like King Asa, who having started so well, ended so miserably. We pray for Thy grace to sustain us and to help us, and to cause us to live for Thee each and every day that Thou would be pleased to give us. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen.